Major General Buster McCoy exited from the front passenger seat of a nondescript tan-colored sedan. As he stepped up to the curb, the driver, wearing a Marine Corps Service A uniform, pulled back into traffic and drove away. McCoy was in civilian clothes, but maintained the unmistakable ramrod bearing of a Marine lifer. He turned and looked across Constitution Avenue at the Federal Reserve Building and stared for a while at the Paul Philippe Cret-designed structure. Its stark white marble exterior always seemed cold and austere to him. He turned back, crossed the sidewalk, and began striding briskly into the National Mall. In a few minutes, he found his objective, a bench at just about the midpoint of the reflecting pond. A tall man in his late 40s, with dirty blonde hair and the build of an athlete, was sitting on the bench. He wore tan slacks with a striped polo shirt, brown tassel loafers, sunglasses, and a Washington Nationals baseball cap. There was a guidebook in his lap. To anyone who bothered to notice him, the man seemed to be the quintessential tourist. McCoy paused in front of him. The man slid his sunglasses partway down his nose and peered out from under the bill of his cap. His eyes were blue and cold.
"General McCoy," he said, "please sit down."
McCoy settled onto the bench at an angle and continued to look at the man.
"So, you're Fedorov?"
The man nodded. On his way to this meeting, McCoy had received Whalen's coded message that Lavelle had been rescued. He was confident that Fedorov was unaware of that fact or that Maxim, the man assigned to kill Lavelle, had been captured. McCoy's purpose was to play along with Fedorov's demands in order to learn what his endgame was.
"What's Lavelle's status?" he said.
"He is fine."
"I have no way of knowing that."
"Trust, General. It is a matter of trust."
Fedorov smiled pleasantly as he said it. McCoy cocked his head to one side as he regarded the Russian.
"Like President Reagan said, trust, but verify."
His voice was gruff and raspy.
"You don't enjoy the same leverage Reagan had."
"Unctuous Russian prick," McCoy thought. "All right. What is it you want in exchange for Lavelle?"
Fedorov's smile broadened.
"I knew you would be a reasonable man, General."
"We'll see."
"Do you know the Hotel L'Orange?"
"On East Capitol Street? Used to be a group of old brownstones that had seen better days. What of it?"
"Room 333 is on the top floor, southwest corner. You will have these sleeping dogs of yours. All of them. There tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. They will be unarmed and will not be accompanied or supervised by anyone. Otherwise, your friend Mr. Lavelle will pay dearly for it. Do we understand each other?"
McCoy was pensive for a few moments.
"As I recall, there should be a good view down East Capitol Street to the steps of the Capitol building."
"Indeed."
"Tomorrow is Labor Day, and the President and other dignitaries are scheduled to speak at that location around 10 in the morning."
"You are very perceptive, General McCoy. No wonder you and your colleagues have been such a pain in the ass over the years."
"You do well to remember that it ain't over till it's over, you bastard."
Fedorov rose from the bench and gave McCoy a puzzled look.
"I do not understand you Americans. That is the same expression your friend Lavelle used. I do not grasp the meaning of such foolishness. It is not over until it is over. It does not make sense."
"With any luck at all, you'll understand exactly what it means, just as you're dying."
Fedorov glanced at the general. He spat on the ground in front of McCoy and said,
"You Americans are naive and too full of yourselves. You are finished as a superpower. Your people have lost the will to fight, to struggle. They expect everything to be given to them, to be easy. Like the Western Europeans, you want your mommy, the state, to take care of every problem in your worthless, pathetic little lives. Your end is at hand. We have conquered the mighty United States of America."
He spit the final sentence out in undisguised contempt. The general rose from the bench. Although Fedorov was much younger and appeared to be in superb physical condition, McCoy stepped toward him until his face was 6 inches from the Russian's.
"The stupidity is all on your part," he said softly. "You have done something the great English poet Chaucer warned against."
Fedorov looked amused.
"Really? And what is it we have done?"
You've awakened, sleeping dogs.
McCoy paused.
Or more properly in this case, sleeping wolves. Killer wolves. Wolves from hell the likes of which you cannot imagine.
Fedorov shook his head.
You are a fool. Americans are fools. They believe in fairy tales. No gods or demons can save you now.